Today's draft prospect review is on the offensive line. Hi, I'm Lori Bransky, and you're listening to the Draft Prospect Review, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. In today's show, being April 11th, you can listen to the thoughts of Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart on the offensive line.
Thank you very much, Lori. We're back with the Patriots Draft Prospect Review podcast here on Patriots.com. It's a Tuesday, and we are talking offensive line today. It was the Patriots' first round target last year, guard Logan Mankins. We'll talk in a little bit about what the Patriots might be looking at in terms of the offensive line in this draft. But as always, we'll start out with some of the guys who are looking to go in the first round. And we've got Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly. Let's start out with the number one guy on the offensive line. That's DeBrickashaw Ferguson, a guy who could possibly go as early as number two overall. Let's start out with him, and what are you guys' thoughts on him? Is he as much of a surefire guy in this draft as anyone else?
I'm not so sure about that. I think he has long arms, and he's very good at pass protecting, but he has trouble with the inside move and run blocking. I think USC's Winston Justice, who's a mauler on the outside, is closer to Ferguson than people are given credit to. So while I'm not saying Ferguson will be an awful player, I just don't see him being so clear-cut the most dominant offensive tackle in the draft.
I kind of agree with Tom. I watched, you know, his footage yesterday, and wasn't in love with him. And I know he's supposed to be this, you know, once every 5 years franchise tackle guy, but I feel like every year we're kind of, there's one guy that's built that way, and sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't.
They generally work out, they just don't necessarily pan out to be Hall of Famers.
If I take a guy, a left tackle, number two overall, he better be my left tackle and a no questions asked guy for the next decade. And if he's not that, then I think of him as a little bit of a bust. And I'm not so, DeBrickashaw, you know, he's lean. He's not that big fat guy. He's lean. He showed up at the combine, put on an extra 10 or 12 pounds to get in the low, you know, 312, I think he was.
I don't think he can put on a lot more weight.
I'm not sure he can either.
That big.
And you watch him, he's fundamentally sound. He's clearly one of those guys that knows how to play the position, but you just don't see him killing people, and you just, I don't know. I just am not totally sold that he's a franchise guy.
I don't think he's worthy of the second pick in the draft for sure.
Yeah, I don't like taking offensive linemen that early.
No, me either.
In general, I mean, if you had told me about Orlando Pace and what I know now and Jonathan Ogden, I still don't like taking those guys that early. Now, obviously, those guys panned out and proved to be worthy of their lofty selections, but you know, in Ferguson, I didn't get a chance to go to the combine with Andy and Tom and to see all the stuff. I was very impressed with his Senior Bowl week, going back a little bit further, where he was
really
completely dominant against other guys that we're going to be talking about in different podcasts. You know,
almost single-handedly ruined Mathias Kiwanuka's draft status.
Absolutely, and that was the guy I was going to bring up. I mean, a lot of people were talking about him as a top half of the first-round guy, and now no one has him in the first round anywhere. So that's the kind of dominant performance that I think he put on there. I'm not as worried about him overall as Andy and Tom are, although I think they both make pretty good points about, you know, his stature and whatnot. He does have the long arms, which you like to see from those guys. I'm just basing it basically on reports here.
And he could end up, I mean, if he ends up as Matt Light, that's a fine player.
He needs to be a better player than that.
He's a wasted pick.
I agree. Right. He needs to be a better player than Matt Light.
As Paul was saying, like at the Senior Bowl, he was able to get his long reach on those guys and keep them at bay. If he gets you that way, you got no shot against them.
But I think he can be overpowered. I wasn't sold on a lot of his run blocking, so I think there's
trouble with
questions.
That inside move.
There are some
Darryl
definite Papp questions.
Killed him for Virginia Tech.
One question you don't have is just the human being, because he's kind of got that I'm the perfect guy. I read a story that projected him as a president whatever year he's eligible.
I want to ask you guys, that's a good point that you bring up, Andy. Isn't there a little bit of a question mark about the USC kid, Winston Justice, in that regard?
Yep, and his story at the combine was he thought a bunch of friends were coming, and he used a toy gun to hold up the car, like, as a joke, and it wasn't the car he thought it was, so he was suspended for a year.
Well, he's an interesting
guy. He was suspended for a year over a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Now, does anybody really believe that?
Well, that's what happened. I mean, you're right. There's definitely a question there. Now, he's an interesting guy because he was the right tackle protecting Matt Leinart's blindside. And certainly when you look at the USC offense, playmakers everywhere, but a dominant offensive line.
Leinart's domination.
Itusi Lutui and Fred Matua. There's
at least
at
very
least
well
three
done.
Offensive linemen who are going to go, thank you very much, on the first day for sure. So Justice, Winston Justice and then Eric Winston of Miami are probably the next two guys after Ferguson. Interesting thoughts that you guys all had on Ferguson, but he still probably will be a top five guy.
Oh, he'll be the first tackle, very early.
The first tackle. But when we look at Winston Justice, Eric Winston, Marcus McNeil as well of Auburn, what's your take on where those guys are?
Those guys, I think, are all flying up the charts right now, especially Winston Justice, who could be a top 10 draft pick right now.
Yeah. He went early in the writer's mock draft for whatever that's worth.
He's really moving up.
What is that worth, Paul?
About a penny.
And Eric Winston had a great combine. His stock improved. McNeil's stock improved. So I think you could see all those guys gone in the first 25 picks.
Talking about those guys, just first of all, watching offensive line film, I'm not going to pretend I know what I'm talking about.
It's the hardest thing to do.
But Marcus McNeil was the only guy I really, really didn't like.
And a lot of people don't like him. He's one of those guys that people either love or hate for some reason.
He's a big dude, and you know he obviously played and was – I just didn't fall in love with him. He's kind of flat-footed, didn't really move that well.
Some people feel he doesn't play up to his athleticism.
He doesn't seem to. And you know that's a good way to describe it. I just wasn't in love with him. One guy I really like that you didn't mention yet is Ryan O'Callaghan.
Sorry about that.
From California.
Okay.
Had a very impressive film. Played right tackle there. Solid in run blocking. That's another thing you see when you're watching tape a lot. They show a lot of pass blocking. Well, I need the guy to be able to run block as well. I need him to fire out and move somebody.
And he played in a pro system at California.
He was pretty impressive. But you know, a lot of these guys, you watch tape and, you know, they all can play at some level. They're all big dudes and they can move people a little bit. So you're kind of nitpicking to really find the elite ones.
And a lot of the question, too, is what kind of offense do they run in college?
Yeah, right.
Is that the type of – let me ask you about a couple other tackles before we move on to some of the interior guys. Jonathan Scott of Texas coming off a national championship and Darren College of Boise State, who seems to be an intriguing guy, and I know you guys wanted to
– Yeah, those are both two players that the Patriots talked to at the combine. Scott's your bigger, more physical tackle, where College is more your intelligent, smart, hard-working type tackle, and he kind of fits the Patriots scheme, wouldn't you say, Andy?
I think he fits the scheme. He also moves very well. Mm-hmm. You know, watching him get the initial block, then move on, take on a linebacker. They even pulled him from the tackle spot a number of times, which takes a lot of athleticism to be able to get across the ball there. So, you know, I was very impressed with his tape.
It seems like he's a guy with some good versatility and good work ethic that could be a guy from here.
Yes.
Let's just move on to some of the guards. And Max Jean Gillis of Georgia is probably the top-ranked guard and probably a first-rounder. But there are some others that are maybe first, second-rounders more so. Rob Sims is definitely one of them. What's your take on Rob Sims of Ohio State?
I like Sims because of his versatility. He started 2 years at guard, 2 years at tackle. We all know the Patriots try to find players that can play more than one position. So he's a guy who played on a very good Ohio State offensive line that you can move around. And like you said, the USC guys, if you get one of those guys in the second, third round, that's like stealing, in my opinion.
I really liked Deuce. You know, just at the combine, he's... I don't know if he's Samoan or whatever, but
Samoan,
he's just
I think
kind of fun-loving, clearly loves football, works hard, you know, had a very impressive tape. One guy
an
I kind of...
absolute mauler.
Yeah, and we talked to Matt Castle, too, last week, who played with him and called him a beast. And basically what you said right there, energy guy, a beast.
He's like one of those baby beasts. You know, off the field, he's smiling at you, kidding around, and then all of a sudden he's on the field and he's killing fellow 300-pound people. So I like that little mix there. One guy I fell out of love with, actually, was the number one overall guard, Max Jean Gillis. His tape, I didn't love it. He's huge, 360 pounds or whatever he may be in reality. But I didn't feel like he plays that big. You know, a guy that big firing out should be able to move some people, and I didn't really see that. And I was a little actually disappointed.
And that goes back to scheme, too, like what Brian was saying. Like the Broncos probably would never draft a guy like that.
Right, because he can't get out and move with them.
And, Andy, I know on the other side of it, you had a super sleeper out of Bloomsburg, Jahari Evans, a guard. Why don't you tell us
about him? Yes, he played tackle in college. I assume he'd be a guard. Big dude. At that level, absolutely dominated in a laughable sense. You know how you see pancakes a lot? Well, he didn't really pancake. He just hit people, and they kind of went bum over tea kettle onto the ground because he was just by far the best guy on the field. And I just think the way the Patriots do things, which a lot of times is bring in a guy they see a little talent in but maybe isn't quite ready, he could be a guy they bring in and develop over a couple years on the practice squad or, you know, bottom of the roster inactive, because you have the question of the level of talent he played against, but he clearly has kind of the athleticism and the build and all that.
It's going to be, you know, just kind of funny. You know, you talk about what the Patriots might do and what direction they might go. It's almost, you know, becoming impossible. I would have thought for sure they would never take an interior lineman. I'll say even on the first day, never mind the first round. And then, you know, they did that last year with Logan Mankins. You know, who's to say, you know, I would be very surprised to see them go in that direction again early. I like to think they feel like they have to get their tackles in the draft. They can get the guards and centers elsewhere, you know, later on in the draft, you know, second day guys. Guys like Copen in the fifth round, excellent pick, obviously. But, you know, after last year with Mankins and Kazier to a lesser extent, two guys that had played a lot of tackle in college and were projected to play guard at the NFL level, one did play guard and the other played tackle. So,
and then the other question is, with what they have from last year and assuming guys return from injury, how big a need is O-line in terms of starters, or are you trying to find depth for a year or two down the line?
You're probably looking for depth.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you say lights back, then Kazier, you flip to the right side,
right,
and now you have Mankins, Neal, and Copen. That's a decent offensive line to throw out there, and maybe you're looking for the next tier of backups to develop.
Right. And Copen also coming off the injury. He's also a free agent. Is it next year?
Yeah.
Next year. And just real quick, we don't have to go too in-depth on some of these centers, but Nick Mangold of Ohio State, the top-rated center.
I actually like Greg Esslinger
of Minnesota.
So he's my top-rated center.
And maybe the Patriots are looking in the second or third round. Maybe center is a position that they look at, sort of like with Copen when Woody was leaving, maybe something like that. It is interesting when you talk about the Patriots' philosophy sometimes, because last year, as Paul talked about, they took two offensive linemen in the first day. In the previous five drafts under Belichick, they took two offensive linemen in the first day combined.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting to look at what they did. Keep in mind, on Patriots.com, you can find out a lot more about the draft prospects, audio of different prospects, four different ones each week. So keep on going over to Patriots.com and checking out the audio of some of these offensive linemen and others in the draft. Anything else in terms of offensive linemen that you guys want to touch on this podcast?
I just would say, as always, there's a couple Boston College guys in the draft.
Jeremy
They've gone
Trueblood.
There for Woody. They've gone there for Copen. Who knows if they tap into that again with the local pipeline of offensive line talent.
That's very true. Maybe they will.
And Paul's boy from Northeastern.
Paul, any
of course the 43rd rated guard in the draft.
Ryan Gibbons.
Ryan Gibbons. So
he will not be drafted, but he will be in someone's camp.
Look for Ryan Gibbons here on the mini camp weekend. Well, we're going to wrap up the offensive line now, offensive line podcast now. Just one other thing to keep in mind. Patriots Football Weekly's mock draft contest is ongoing right now this month. Try your hand at the draft with the Patriots Football Weekly mock draft contest and win Patriots gear. Go to pfwonline.com right now and click the mock draft contest link to participate. We are going to be back on Thursday with another Draft Prospect Review podcast. We'll be touching on defensive backs. And then on Friday, as always, our roster report, and we'll have more draft podcasts coming your way over the next couple weeks with the draft closing in. Thanks to Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, going left to right around the table here. And I'm Brian Lowe. Back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Come back next time for a review on the defensive backs. Thanks for listening.